Pastor Ray Bentley explains how we can reach our culture.
Are you willing to be a few fat Christians? That's an acronym. Number one, faithful. Faithful men. Number two, are you available? And number three, are you teachable? Are you willing to be faithful and available and teachable? And are you willing to start with humility and serve? And if you are, you could be the next Joshua for a new generation.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We may think we're not the kind of person God can use to do big things for His kingdom. We're not smart enough or outgoing enough or talented enough. Today, Pastor Ray points out God is looking for people who are faithful, available, and teachable. So what do you think? Are you ready?
Joshua is the first book of the Bible to be named after a person. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And what that means is, at this point in the story of redemption, God is getting so personal that a whole story of a whole generation is summed up in one man's name, one man's new identity, one man's calling. Joshua becomes the most incredible, beautiful type of Jesus. Because whereas Moses was a type of the Ten Commandments and the law, and he brought him all the way to the edge of the Promised Land, but he couldn't bring them across or into the Promised Land. So Moses and the law had to give way to Joshua, which is really the Lord, picture of Jesus. He is the one who brings us into the Promised Land. So it's Yehoshua. We call that in English Joshua. But in Hebrew, it is also Yeshua. That's Jesus' name. Jesus' name is Yehoshua, Yeshua, which means the Lord, our salvation, because Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now, I want you to note this. Here's what we need to do. I'm going to give you the number one application point for us. And that is this: learning that God uses our past for His glory. Because Joshua was born into slavery. He was born into slavery in Egypt, and not only was he born into slavery in Egypt, his parents were slaves, and his grandparents were slaves, and their parents were slaves, and they went back 400 years. And yet by his parents naming him Salvation, what they were doing is, even though that identity, you know how they were beaten and they were abused and used by the Egyptians and so forth, but their parents were standing after all those generations on the promise of God to our spiritual parents, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God would bless his people, that God would bring us into a land prosperous and flowing with milk and honey. And therefore, here were these parents saying, we don't care what our circumstances, what our history or past has been, we are naming our son after the promise of God. God had been preparing Joshua all the years he was young, that he was little, that he had this identity as a slave in Egypt. God was preparing him for a far greater calling than he ever could have dreamed or realized. He would be the one to lead the children of Israel into the Promised Land. So I say to you that God, your Father, has began preparing for you and your calling long before you were saved. From the very beginning, God had a plan for you. And now that you are saved and born again, his identity, which will be revealed to you, will bring you into your future destiny. And it's glorious, and it's powerful. And I also want you to know this. Many times our ministry comes out of our former misery. What we went through, and what we sacrificed, and what we suffered, and what we endured, and now the Lord heals, and the Lord washes, cleanses, forgives, restores, gives us a new, fresh life and identity. But God will redeem everything from your past and use it so that you might be used for His glory, and you will minister to others who were wounded as you were wounded. Amen? I want you to note that Joshua was a fighter. He was a man of courage who was not afraid to confront the enemy and trust in the Lord for victory. So guess what? You are in a spiritual battle, so you have to learn to fight. And you have to stand strong on the promises of God. You have to learn spiritual warfare is not like fighting in the world and in the flesh with fleshly tools and attitudes and whatever, you know, that the world uses. It doesn't work with the supernatural. You have to learn how to fight with spiritual weapons. You have to be spiritually clothed with the armor of God. You need to learn to stand on the word of God, and that's learning how to fight. Because the enemy will go after you to discourage you and to defeat you and say, whatever you do, don't get into the Bible. God forbid you'll find out who you are and what you have and what you could do. Read with me Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Let's read this out loud. Our flesh and the spirit are at war with one another. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Not only, listen, is there a war out here? There's a war inside here. And your spirit is brand new. Your spirit loves the presence of God. Your spirit loves the fruit of the Spirit. Your spirit loves being with the Lord and closeness and intimacy and hearing from Him and being touched by Him and filled with love and joy and peace and all these wonderful new things that come with a kingdom existence. But in your flesh, it hasn't changed at all. It's the same nasty flesh you had when you were a big, bad sinner. Did you notice your body didn't change? You changed on the inside, and what you find out after you get saved is, my flesh really does not like to do the things of the Spirit. It wars against your spirit, doesn't want you to pray or get into the Word or surrender your heart or begin to grow in your understanding and knowledge and identity, and it certainly doesn't want you to learn how to fight spiritually. So the flesh and the spirit are at war. You and I then have to learn how to fight in the Spirit and to choose to deny our flesh. Remember when Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me? He's not asking us necessarily to have someone drive nails in our hands, but to deny the demands of your flesh. You used to get drunk and use drugs and live immorally and do whatever you felt like doing. Come on! And he tries to stir that up. So by you denying those, that you don't live by the flesh. You don't live from the outside in anymore. Because the flesh leads to death. It leads to emptiness, darkness, depression, and death. You deny it. Well, to deny it, it hurts. It's kind of like crucifying. So you finally get to the point where you're like, you know what, flesh? Go ahead and suffer. You have beat me long enough. You've abused me long enough. You've deceived me and lied to me long enough. I'm not giving in to you. I don't care what you say. I'm standing. I'm going to feed my spirit. And you begin living out of the inside and living out of the spirit. And your body now has to surrender in obedience to the powerful life like a living spring that begins to flow through you and overflowing you. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Look, this is how Paul described what I've just been saying to you. Let's read it out loud. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 24 quickly. Exodus chapter 24 and verses 12 and 13. Exodus 24, verse 12 says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. So this is the next thing. Once we begin to engage in the spiritual battle, the next thing we need to learn is learning to be a servant. Joshua began serving Moses, an assistant to Moses, a minister to Moses. What does it mean to be a servant? It means being willing to do anything to assist those that God has brought you alongside of as they serve the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Joshua called Moses servant. And, you know, this reminds me, you know, back with my pastor, Chuck Smith, and when I, you know, had moved from San Diego, I was a young man and living in a house ministry that was wild and crazy for over a year. I lived in a house ministry of 35 people. And they were people, you know, hippies and drug addicts and people from the street and people from, you know, halfway house and people that had, you know, come out of jail and a couple that had come out of the prison for the insane. And we were all there, you know, living with them in these bunks for a year. And I was the church kid in the midst of all that. It was quite a year of the Lord preparing me for ministry. And I remember I would go to, you know, Calvary Costa Mesa, and God was doing this phenomenal move, and there was Pastor Chuck, and there were hundreds of young people that were all so excited. Wow! They saw the power of God. They felt the power of God. God was moving mightily and doing such incredible things. And so many young people said, I'm called to the ministry. The Lord's calling me. So they would come up to Pastor Chuck, and I would be with them and standing next to them, and they would say, Pastor Chuck, I feel called to be a minister like you. He goes, oh, great, you know. And they go, yeah, I feel like I'm called to preach. And some of them wanted, hey, Chuck, could you let me preach for you next Sunday? I got a great message. You know, and it's some young guy, his eyes are like this, and he's still, you know, kind of coming off, smoking dope and all of that. And he just got saved a week and a half ago, and I got a vision. I want to share it with everybody. And so Chuck is like, hey, that's great. You know, you've come to the Lord. I'm glad you're here, and you feel the call of God on your life. Yeah, yeah, what can I do? He goes, well, you know, you could go out and maybe greet new people and hand out some bulletins. And they look at him, no, I'm not called to do that. I'm called to preach like you. And so he would say, yeah, well, what we need is we could use some, you know, fellas to go out and scour the grounds, because there was all these crazy people coming, and there were, you know, cigarettes butts everywhere and drugs sometimes and crazy stuff on the ground. He goes, could you go out and just clean up the trash? And they were like, I'm not called to pick up trash. I'm called to preach like you. And he would say, well, we really could use some help in the Sunday school. We need some people to go in there and serve them. I'm not called to preach to kids. I'm called to be like you. And you go, well, okay, you know, God bless you, you know, and all. So then off they would go. I was with those guys, and all of them wanted to be up, you know, in front of people and, you know, the adulation or, wow, God, the glory of God that came through from the pulpit and being like that. But when Chuck said, okay, yeah, you have a call in your life. I believe you. Start serving. Pick up trash. Some of the guys wanted to get hired. It was like, wow, I could quit my lousy worldly job. I could work for the church. And Chuck would go, great, we need some janitors. No, I'm not called to be a janitor. Many of those guys that felt called to the ministry but weren't willing to serve or start with serving, I don't know who they are, where they are, what they did. They didn't do nothing. They just disappeared. But there's another group of young men that I remember who said, I'll pick up trash every Sunday as long as it takes if I get to be near the house of God and serve my pastor. I will teach in Sunday school. I will pass out bulletins. I get to be on staff, and I'm a janitor at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And some of those same humble men that were willing to serve in those very nominal jobs now are pastors of churches with thousands of people hearing them because they started with a heart of humility. They were willing to serve. We need to learn how to serve. And what was amazing is Chuck would be picking up trash. Chuck would be coming alongside the janitor. He did whatever because he was an example. Joshua became a servant. So I want you to write down these three words really quick, because I'm looking for a few fat Christians. I'll tell you what I mean. It's an acronym. Number one, faithful. Faithful men. Number two, are you available? Are you available? And number three, are you teachable? Are you willing to be faithful and available and teachable? And are you willing to start with humility and serve? And if you are, you could be the next Joshua for a new generation. All right, let's go on to the next one. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 17. As God gets ready to send out the spies, it says, "Then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now, the time was the season of first ripe grapes." So he sent them out, spy out the land, 12 of you, one per tribe, then come back and give a good report. The idea was to give encouragement to the 2 million people so they'd be like, "Yeah, we're ready to go. Let's go into the land that God has for us." But when they came back, 10 of the 12 came back with an evil report of the promised land of God. Do you know why? Because there were giants in the land. You remember there were giants? And all they could talk about when they got back was the giants. All they could remember seeing were the giants. Now, there were 2 of the 12 that said, "Big deal. Man, the grapes, you got to see. The land is fertile. It's beautiful. It's flowing with milk and honey." And those 2 that gave a good report were Joshua and Caleb, men of faith. So this is what's interesting. As these 12 were brought into the land to dream about the future, the vast majority of them were crushed before they could ever enter their destiny because their eyes were on the wrong thing. The Lord was bringing them into their destiny, which was much bigger than they could fathom. And so I love what I've written here. The giants that were in the land are a picture of how large we will become. When God brought them into the land and they saw those giants, they were intimidated. And what God was saying was, "You're going to be bigger than the giants. You're going to have to grow in your understanding of me, how big I am and how powerful I am." And the grasshoppers are a picture of how little the enemy is destined to become. So little you'll walk on them. They will be like bread for you as you enter into the land. In other words, the spying, dreaming about the future, is a lesson in perspective. We are not to, because there's always a giant to tell you that your dream can never happen. But we are not to compare the giants that are in our future to ourselves. We are to compare the giants in our future to the greatness, the bigness, the might, and the power of God. So all of a sudden, they're like nothing. They're like grasshoppers. We can only do this if we intentionally keep our eyes not on the giants, but our eyes on the bigness and the vastness and the greatness of God. Can I hear an amen? So we've got to keep our eyes totally and completely on the Lord, or the fear and the intimidation of the giants will keep us from the destiny that God has for us. So learning to be a spy means learning to see promises through God's eyes. Your future through God's eyes. Whatever challenge before you, through the eyes of the Lord, and keeping your eyes on the Lord and not on the giants. One last life lesson. The promised land is a picture of victorious life lived in the Spirit. There are some who see the promised land as a type of heaven, and the Jordan River is supposedly symbolic of death. But when you think about it, that analogy doesn't really fit. Because when Israel entered into the land, they entered into a life of warfare. And when we get to heaven, there won't be any fighting because the Lord rules and the Lord reigns. I believe that the crossing of the Jordan is a type for us as believers when we reckon our old life dead and crucified with Christ, like at baptism. And now we're moving forward into our future and destiny, into the future with faith in God. We are moving from Romans 7, where my eyes are all on myself, and I realize I can't live righteously in my own strength, and I cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But now I cross the Jordan into Romans chapter 8, where now in the Spirit, by the Spirit, growing in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit, surrendering my life to the Spirit, I am filled with new, fresh life, rivers of power, and my flesh now must serve and become obedient and subservient to the Spirit of God within me. That's Romans chapter 8. I begin then to grow in my identity. I begin growing in my authority. I begin to take new territory and the very life that God has for me as His son and daughter. So coming into this rich, new, glorious life in the Spirit, we find all kinds of incredible analogies here in this powerful book of Joshua. We will learn principles to live by. We will learn of the dangers to avoid and the traps that will be set, and we can avoid them all and we can possess the land. I leave you with Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, by the way, as we go through Joshua. A good book to read as a corollary in the New Testament is Ephesians. Because it's in Ephesians, it's doing the application for us. It's saying God has all these promises, new ground for blessings, promises for us to take possession of. So with me, would you please read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this brief introduction to the story, the personal story of a man whose name you bore on earth, Yeshua, Yehoshua, the Lord is our salvation. Lord, let not one of us be afraid or scared or intimidated or robbed by the enemy to keep us where we are. We choose intentionally to move forward for your kingdom, to honor your name, to glorify our Father, and to fulfill the dreams that are so big. They're far bigger than any enemy or giant that lay before us. And may, Lord, you grow in our estimation, and may we grow in our stature in Christ. We ask all of these things in Jesus' wonderful, mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with insights today on entering our promised land and how we need to be explorers, spies, and be open to where God wants to lead us. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, A New Beginning. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, the message title is A New Beginning. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.